Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, I'm Parker Romaine.
And I'm George Chad.
And you're listening to SupDoc.
This is a show where we talk to interesting people about their favorite documentaries. And today we're live at San Francisco Sketch
Fest. Yeah, thank you guys.
Piano fight.
Today we are showing Memorial Day 2000, which documents a memorable Memorial Day weekend in northern Michigan, where things quickly devolve into Lord of the Flies-like debauchery.
From the word of one of our panelists, Corey Sklar, this movie is a batshit 20 minutes long found footage gross-out. Think heavy metal parking lot meets Gathering of the Juggalos.
And in the great tradition of drunk white people, we asked the audience to drink with us whenever they saw fire in the dock, and now everyone is drunk. And now our panel.
All right, I'm going to introduce Emily Van Dyke. She's 33, still on her mom's cell phone plan.
100%.
Originally from the Midwest, Emily loves pools and telling inappropriate stories at barbecues.
Yes.
Emily has performed at SF Sketchfest. She was a winner of the Walk the Plank comedy competition, and her comedy dating show, Flirting with Laughter, won Best Tinder Alternative in San Francisco Magazine. Hi, Emily.
Hey.
Yay.
Hey.
What part of the Midwest are you from, Emily?
I'm from Logansport, Indiana.
Oh, a Hoosier. Put your hands together for Logansport,
okay,
Indiana.
Three of you. Good.
Everyone else is just mad. It's fine.
Next.
I'm an ambassador sent to bridge two worlds.
Next, we have Melissa McQueen, who is a stand-up comedian, writer, and sketch performer. She currently hosts the A&E online web series Buzzworthy. She performs regularly at the world-famous Comedy Store, and her act has taken her to comedy clubs all over the country. She can be seen in the upcoming film And Punching the Clown and produces videos for her YouTube channel, Dorks of Yore, which is covered by The Hollywood Reporter and Huffington Post. Ladies and gentlemen, Melissa McQueen!
Yay! Thank you.
You're welcome.
Melissa, you're from the Midwest also?
I'm from Wichita, Kansas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Less enthusiasm than the Hoosiers.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard Asphalt Wichita Falls?
No.
I just made that up.
Okay, good.
Great limerick. Okay, next up, your next host, her next guest, is a San Francisco-based musician, writer, and radio host. His writing has appeared in Rolling Stone and the SF Weekly. His radio show, Illogical Contraption, broadcast out of the Mission on Radio Valencia every Sunday, features frequent guests like Peaches Christ, Longmont Potion Castle, Guar, and Genesis Peorage. He records under the name Chalky. A new solo album is coming out soon called Patrick Warburton. Good for Corey Sklar, everyone. Corey Sklar.
Yeah.
What's up? I'm just going to do that the whole show.
Awesome. That's completely legitimate. That's also what your radio show is like, right?
What's up?
You own whatsup.edu, is that?
Dude, did you who is me or something?
Yes, I did.
Fuck you, Monica.
What, are you from the Midwest?
Absolutely not.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, California through and through. So this is like alien to me. No, actually, where I grew up, or when I went to high school in Simi Valley, which is on the outskirts of Los Angeles. That's where the Rodney King trials happened, and the Manson family was. And so there's a lot of like redneck, SoCal rednecks, and we had lots of fires like that.
Oh, awesome. Well, you'll fit right in. Corey Sklar, ladies and gentlemen. And finally, Frank G. is a local performer who quit a PhD to pursue the high-paying world of comedy. He's lucky enough to perform in groups like Narcissist Anonymous and Killing My Lobster, and if his laugh ruins our podcast tonight, he is very, very sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, Frankie G.
Hey.
Frankie's laugh can be heard on our last year live
Sketchfest
show.
There.
He did not have a microphone, just fully picked up.
There's a few Harmon Towns you can catch it on.
I feel like you and I both have like very shrill laughs. Together it's gonna be. We're gonna have to hold the mic down.
I was sitting next to an old man at Improv Shakespeare last night who was having a great time until I started laughing. Then he became visibly upset that he was seated next to me. poor guy.
Because of your laugh or
yeah,
other
yeah,
reasons?
Yeah, it was just so overbearing to him.
Awesome. So, Memorial Day 2000.
Yeah, let's get into it.
And this, you know, so it's not really a doc, obviously. It's not really like
technically.
A
right.
Well,
technically.
Well, in the sense it's like an anthropological survey of a pre-George W. Bush era, I feel like it is.
Yeah, I feel like they should just rename the whole documentary to Future Trump Supporters. Yeah. Right? Like, that's just like,
it does
Jesus.
Feel that way.
Or
yeah.
current.
Yeah.
Maybe current.
Well,
current.
Like,
they'd probably
be
like almost
future
50.
Future Trump supporters.
Yeah, maybe like mid-40s now.
There's, yeah.
People all seem like they were either like early 20-something people that yeah. look like 30-somethings, or they were like 30-something. So, yeah, it's 16 years later.
Yeah.
And the world is on fire. Great. So the story with this, the story that everyone tells about this is that these people, Carly Patak and Twig Harper, found a video at a garage sale, and then they edited it together. But that may or may not be true. They're in a noise band called Nautical Almanac. Anyone know a Nautical Almanac? Okay, what? Corey?
Just Corey.
And
well, what is it?
Nautical Almanac, they were like a noise group. They ended up living in Baltimore for a long time. They had a place called Tarantula Hill that was like a noise venue, and also had a bunch of floating like sensory deprivation tanks.
Floating?
Oh, yeah, it's not just deprivation tank. You float in like salt water.
Oh.
You guys see Stranger Things? It's like that, yeah, basically.
Has anybody in the audience ever been in a sensory deprivation tank? Has anybody ever...
Any of you podcast listeners been in a sensory...
Email
right now.
Us at supdocpodcast at gmail. How about any of the panelists? Have any of you guys ever done that?
I haven't, but I really want to try.
It's like awesome. Altered state style, like you're just going to combust it out.
Yeah,
and like
I don't know.
Out.
Plus, like, Joe Rogan talks about it every all 2 seconds.
Yeah, totally.
So I like really like, well,
Melissa,
well,
use your mic.
We shot. Take all of our advice on health
from Joe Rogan.
Rogan on it.com.
Eat a lot of venison.
I take my haircut advice.
Get
from him.
Cryogenic treatments and sit in a suspension tank.
Joe Rogan. This was available on VHS in the maybe like 2001, 2002, and circulated in the underground VHS circuit. Nautical Almanac did a mail order and a record label called Hearsay, so you could buy this on Hearsay. And I remember watching this in maybe like 2002 for the first time, and basically thinking like, yeah, like this is why Al Gore lost. That's pretty much what I was thought when I watched this. It's like a snuff film for the America that could have been, is what I like to say. Has anyone seen this before we asked you to do it?
No, it's amazing.
Yeah.
My mind's blown. Thank you for bringing this to my
yeah.
my world.
It's Corey, yeah.
I'm really stoked.
I think I've seen it at every high school graduation party.
Yeah.
You've lived it.
Did it take you back?
Yeah, I was just, I was thinking I want to jump off a roof into a pool like today, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely had a couch on fire. Personal couch. Sofa bed couch, which burns longer. So think about that.
Now, I heard that since a lot of these people in this movie were people that worked for the city, firefighters, mailmen, that they actually sued the noise people mm-hmm. after the VHS release came out.
Yeah.
So
they
found out the people in this
for
movie
all the profits that this VHS made circulating.
Well, when a movie is edited by someone named Twig,
yeah, Twig Harper.
Things are gonna go downhill quickly from there. I think.
I think just because it's documented doesn't mean it's a documentary, right? Like, is my 9-year-old birthday party now a documentary? Like,
it's a documentary. The way bum fights is a documentary.
Yeah. Why'd you pick this, idiot?
Because when we started the show, I was like, we have to do Memorial Day 2000.
Yes. Yeah. Actually,
like, episode 50, by the way. This is our 50th episode, you guys.
Yay. Oh, wow, yeah.
Yay.
And 2 years worth of justice.
It was either this or Cane Toads.
I was really into the Cane Toads documentary. Do you guys know the Cane Toads documentary?
Yeah,
we got a Cane Toads fan in that.
Oh, wow.
Got a couple Cane Toads fans.
Seriously.
It's a little too long to do in a live setting and a little too slow.
The problem is...
Great accents also.
We have to pick docs that are like 20 minutes or less. Wow. That is the big problem with
this. Did you guys want it to be longer?
Yes!
Oh, wow. Okay. Now you know.
Director's commentary.
Do you guys feel the same way I do? That this, when I first watched this, I felt the same way I felt when I watched Heavy Metal Parking Lot. Do you think it exists in the same universe?
Like, there is a continuity. It's the same continuity.
Yeah, continuity. Just the flow.
This is definitely a prequel.
There's some tropes in each one. Like, Heavy Metal Parking Lot has that one coked out Jew guy. I know he's a Jew. He has the big star, David, who says, like, he's the only one that knows Rob Halford's gay.
Right.
And this one has the guy who's just, like, really sober, and he's like, yeah, there's a lot of uneducated people.
Yeah.
I think those are both on the same level.
And if you think about it, the guy in the goggles who's in
that's
the night
Mike.
Vision.
That's Mike, actually, yeah.
What's that?
That's Mike.
It's Mike, same guy.
Right, exactly.
But if it's Mike, that's
Mike
the guy.
Mike is the brother.
Okay, thank you.
In the goggles.
There are characters I need to make.
If you think about the guy in the goggles in the green light who says everyone's an idiot, he's kind of the superhero.
He's the guy who was like,
her name is not
Laquita.
Laquita, yeah. Like, right. Say her name properly.
Yeah.
Lorraine to Laquita.
Mike is the conscience of the film.
Jiminy Cricket.
And Mike and Amy are brothers, so it is like Star Wars in that way also.
Oh, yeah.
Brother and sister, yeah, siblings.
The kiss is cut out of the final version of the film.
I feel like that's the only thing that's off limits in the entire movie is incest. That's the only thing that they didn't do. That we know of. Great. Tom is the guy with the hat. And there's a lot of... There's a core four people, right?
There was
that
a
were
lot
credited.
Of
the core but then there's four. A lot of, like, ancillary Ten. People that were important. Like, oh, Kurt? Anyone?
Kurt, yeah.
Remember Kurt?
Who's Kurt?
Kurt is the guy
who puked. Kurt's gonna puke.
Kurt is
Kurt's
the man who puked. So, the guy who does... Wait, who does the box thing? Is that that's Tom that does
that's
box.
Tom.
Can you guys explain Tom's to me really what the fuck was going on? Like, were they peeing and pooping on him while he was in
when
the
box? When he's inside of the cage? Box is when he did that sounds like lamb thing. Where you just, like, throw your junk in the back.
Oh, that's called... We call that the tuck in the business.
It's called the tuck.
He has many names.
He changes dick into a box. At least that's the logic that I saw.
Okay. Well,
that's what it is.
Well, the guy was in the cage. Was he getting pooped on?
I think he's getting pooped or peed on.
I think it was the dog cage that already had the dog head.
Okay, thanks everybody. I couldn't tell what was going on there.
Yeah. It was very Abu Ghraib.
I have a question for Emily.
Because this was basically a documentary of myself.
Yes. Yeah. Since you grew up in Indiana, do you have any like? Camping stories that went awry, any kind of, like...
No, we didn't ever go camping. We just did this at each other's house.
I see, yes.
This was just basically, like, every Friday and Saturday. It was... I mean, I'd like to give a shout-out to Zach Morocco, David Rhodes, the original Fire Jumpers.
Morocco!
Yes, exactly. We got a Morocco in the house.
Yeah, we got two Moroccos in the house.
Okay.
All right.
We about to put some lighter fluid down on some of these chairs. Yeah. To jump.
You guys came in after the movie showed, right?
You know why. No.
This is going to make a lot of sense.
Are those people friends of yours from high school?
The people that I shouted out to are the Moroccos at the bar. The people that I shouted out to are definitely friends from high school, yeah.
Got it. I think there's going to be a fight or something.
I know. All right.
Oh, it's got your back.
This is not a reenactment of the movie.
But if we want a mud wrestle, I'm happy to reenact that.
We have a mud pit here.
That looked fun.
Yeah, that was fun. I feel like this is, when you introduced it as like a misogynist and sexist and race, I was like, excuse me? We're just trying to have a good time out here, you know?
There's a fine line. There is a fine line between all of those.
There's
and
a fine
fun
line
time.
Between...
It's not what it's about.
No, it isn't. That's just, you know, this is just white people that are bored, enjoying the outdoors. The dunes. Some people have never been to the dunes, like probably everyone in this room. Has anyone been in the dunes?
I've been to the dunes.
What are the dunes? But explain the dunes to me. So, I don't know the dunes.
These are specific dunes in mid-Michigan, where I'm from.
The dunes that they were.
Paco, can you then, is there a Juggalo connection with this area? Because I know, you know.
It's Michigan, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. There's a heavy 100%. Juggalo. I almost put on face paint in order to do this tonight.
Oh, that reminds me of a segment that we're going to do. Everyone take a glass.
Wait, let me...
And puke in them.
You guys... Oh, actually, it's behind the bar. Hey, bartender, can I get those bottles I asked for? Or I gave you earlier?
Thank you.
Has anyone here... Oh, we're going to do this segment. Okay, this is not the segment I was thinking of. Okay, well... I'll get the bottles while Frankie does a dramatic reading, everyone. Oh, Frankie G is going to do a dramatic reading.
Okay, Frankie! Woo! Yeah! Yeah!
Thank you, Moroccos. From Kroll. Finn, did you actually watch any part of this video? I stopped a few minutes in when the dumb scumbag Hicks started thrusting their penises into a dog crate, parentheses, with dog inside, after which they started rolling the crate, die in a fire from Finn. It's not a dog in the cage. It's their friend, named Tom. I believe his friends are peeing on him.
All right, dramatic reading of the YouTube comments for this movie.
And that's what was happening.
I've never incensed. Tried this before, but I found two bottles of Faygo at BevMo. You guys want to try some Faygo?
Faygo.
Okay, this is Rock and Rye.
What does that mean?
Probably the most classic Faygo taste there is. We're going to do a taste
test. It's fluorescent orange.
This is soda?
Wow.
Yes.
Or pop?
It looks almost like strawberry soda, but I know it's not.
People would say pop. Your people would say pop.
This is what my baby teeth were made out of.
Thanks, George.
It smells Dr. Pepperish.
Has anyone in the audience never tried Faygo before?
Morocco!
This gentleman right here is closer, and he has a glass already. I'm going to give him some Faygo.
Pass that Faygo.
We're going to try some Faygo. This is the official drink of Juggalos.
Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Somebody want to...
Rock and Rye!
What's up?
Ah, delicious,
this
huh?
This pop is delicious.
Oh my God, this is so good.
I can't believe you've really gone your whole lives without drinking Faygo. No wonder we can't come together.
I thought it was going to be real trashy and you guys were going to like puke or something.
This is actually delicious. Good.
Hey, I can make myself puke if you all chant.
Hey, Corey, smell my finger. Smell my finger.
This is, I think it's tasty.
It's so good.
You're preaching to the choir here.
Chugged it.
Yeah, wait, Corey, is that your first time tasting it?
Yeah, this is whiskey, but I just drank all my Faygo and it was great. I love it. It was like cream soda with a little more of a sour twinge to it.
Ooh, yeah.
Like it's spoiled milk instead of cream. You know?
That correctly describes Detroit in a nutshell, I would say.
This movie brought me a lot of questions, more questions than answers. Right?
We'll get there. We'll
so I like, there's so many kids at these lakes. Right? It's like, it's not even kids, it's people.
Right.
But the kids have their own campers.
Yeah, well, yeah. How do they afford all this good gear and RVs and shit?
Totally.
That's very expensive
stuff. Because they're on welfare?
No, because their mortgages are like $300 a month.
Exactly.
Right. And as you said, they all have like good community jobs, like teachers and stuff.
Oh, right, that's true. So wait, are all these people like, can you just come to the lake and show up and party? Or
100%. Everybody welcome.
Really?
Yes.
That's fucking crazy.
You probably have to pay
Valdu Lakes. like a fee to...
It's $10 to get in.
To drain your feces on the ground.
Oh, man. She's like, oh, my God, that one looks like a burger. It's definitely yours. Oh, my God.
That's yours, Mike.
Oh. Do you guys have any other favorite lines from the movie? There's a lot of good catchphrases in this movie.
Well, I think you're the shit-whippinest best shit-whipper of all whipper-shits.
Yeah. You're the whip-shit of all shitter-bongers.
Bongers, thanks.
Yeah. Technical term for that. Also, did we talk about the accents yet? We didn't get into this Michigan accent, which... My friend who's...
Something on it just went, oh, yeah.
I have a friend who is a linguist, and I sent him this video. And, well, it's not dirty. I asked him...
He's not a cunning linguist?
Oh, boy. This podcast is over. he said that they have what is known as the Northern States vowel shift.
Oh.
You guys familiar with the Northern States vowel shift?
Yes, yes.
I took a vowel shift this morning. Whoa!
Oh, yeah! I liked it.
Sorry.
So, yeah, that's like basically what that accent is. It's like the Great Lakes area and parts of like Buffalo, New York, and some Canada.
Sure.
Is like just that sort of flattened.
Can you give us an example, Emily or Paco?
I know Paco can.
Oh my God, I don't know if I can do it. You know. Oh man.
It's pretty good.
Oh, it's a real tough accent there, you know.
Well, it's not the same as like the Fargo accent.
That's more of
right?
a Fargo. This one's more like, the pillows are in the hallway closet.
No. You can always tell if someone's from the Midwest if you say say Mazda Miata. That is because they'll be like Mazda Miata.
Yeah. You know?
Mazda Miata.
Miata.
Miata. Right?
Miata. Miata.
It's also like people from the Midwest can turn a one-syllable word into a three-syllable word. It's like, oh no.
Mom and Dad are going to see this.
They're like, oh my God. You know?
Oh my God.
Oh man. No, don't get in the RV, dear.
The big ass fucking sandbox.
That was one of the. I'm a big truck. That was my favorite. That was like a real short one, just a truck on a truck.
I'm a big truck.
That was, yeah.
This was filmed about an hour from where I grew up.
I was going to say, like, we always talk about Michigan on the show, so that's another reason I chose this, so Paco could have more Michigan talk.
Thank you.
Have you been to the Valdew Lake?
I have, yeah. It's right outside of Muskegon, right by on Manistee National Forest. For all those people keeping score at home, the Manistee National Forest. We also would have taken Newaygo County. So.
Say what you will about the people in this movie. They have very eclectic taste in music.
Oh, yeah.
They listen to not only Detroit rap, but West Coast rap. Yeah. They had some New Jack Swing when Mike was dancing over the fire.
Yeah.
I heard some Pantera. And... when the dude was yelling at them, over firewood or some shit, they were listening to Primus 1993's Pork Soda album.
Oh.
Yeah, and they were listening to Deltron 3030 when they were jumping over the fire. So you could just call me the human Shazam people.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. No, literally,
put your hands together for that. That's great.
I'm very impressed with their eclectic taste in music. Yeah. They're like NPR over here. These
I literally did try to Shazam this movie earlier today to figure out what the playlist was.
Should have just called me, bro.
I should have just called you. Yeah. I should just ask you for it.
I feel like
LL Cool J, that was one of them.
Oh, it was?
Yeah,
it was?
LL Cool J was one of the... Goodyear, that was the only thing
Goodyear George.
That was the only thing that my Shazam was able to pick up was LL Cool J. Because there's not a record that's just like, oh, put that down, it's on fire. There's not a record that's just like, glad about it.
I have a question for Melissa.
Okay.
Melissa, you grew up in Wichita, Kansas.
Yeah.
What do you have? You must have... I mean, that is like... white trash.
Oh,
like
my whole family is super white trash.
Awesome. Okay.
My sister just got out of prison in August. Welcome
third
back.
Third time in
Welcome
prison.
Back. Yeah. My brother-in-law is still in prison. My cousin was Miss Hooters Wichita.
Wow. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
My family Not acts like she Hooters. Won a seat in the Senate, so we're real proud of her. That's how we treat it. Like, oh... And I know three people, one of them was a bridesmaid in my wedding, who were on Jerry Springer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whoa,
yeah,
whoa,
Jerry!
Wait.
Yeah.
We're going to have to stop that.
Wait, you know three people?
Three people.
That have been on Springer. One of them was your bridesmaid.
Was my bridesmaid, Charlotte.
Holy white trash.
Was it the same episode or different episodes?
Different episodes. My friend Charlotte, she was in high school and could not stop dressing like a slut.
Oh, classic.
So she went on with her mom, and there was a group called Sluts with Attitude, and they were like, girl, you do you!
Oh, you mean SWA?
What?
SWA.
Yeah,
I'm familiar with that. Yeah.
If you Google that now, it's just a bunch of porn sites that come up, though. But Sluts with Attitudes. So don't do that. And then another one of my friends was Denise. We worked at Dairy Queen together, and she was 9 months pregnant and could not stop partying. And she got into a fist fight on the show, so...
Yeah. On Springer?
Yeah, on Springer, while she was pregnant.
Dairy Queen is like ground zero for white trash, isn't it?
That's because the chicken strips are incredible. They are! That's so true.
I've never been to Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, blizzards are incredible. I've
never been to Olive Garden
and
either.
And Mr. Misty's.
But I think
good
this
too.
Is my year. I'm going to try.
Yeah.
It starts with Faygo.
Corey, you want to...
It's all uphill for me.
You want to go to Black Angus?
Fuck yeah, dude. I've been there before.
Okay.
Yeah. Outback Steakhouse, Applebee's, Black Angus, been all those places, but...
Sure. All pretty terrible. Frankie.
Yeah, what's up?
Where are you from?
I'm from Manteca. So I know a lot of the people in this movie, but like there's a copy of them.
You know, that's like a lake version, right?
Yeah. Well, we have Weatherby Lake, which is where the water slides used to be. They were torn down to build houses. Then the market crashed. And then meth hit town. And it's been pretty rough out there in Manteca ever since.
And you quit. And you quit a PhD program?
Yeah, I sure did.
Are you the only person that got a PhD program from Manteca?
Probably.
Just let them all down.
There's a few MDs, but they all are helping people now.
Yeah. You're helping people with comedy.
Oh, God, I hope
and
so.
And our shrill laughs.
Is Manteca in California?
Yeah, it's between Stockton and Modesto.
Ooh. Oh.
Jesus.
Yeah. The whole crowd went, oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tells you
everything. Yeah. Yeah.
Between George Lucas and Pavement. The band Pavement.
Oh, right.
They're from Stockton. So did you guys see when they were pouring the beer on the dude's eye?
Oh, yeah.
Is that in this version?
Yeah.
Because I've seen, there's multiple versions of this. This had more footage than the one I saw. But it was also missing some stuff in the one I saw.
I feel like 22 minutes is the most that I've seen. This is actually the DVD-R, you guys. We watched from the DVD-R.
Blasphemy.
I could not handle the DivX logo in the one that was online. Or the YouTube version you watch. It's like much more compressed. You just really got
it's bad.
The feces very cleanly in this one.
But
you can see the hamburger meat in the feces.
I kind of feel like this is what ISIS would show its followers. Like, this is American culture, just mud wrestling and destruction. Right. It's just like, it's such a fucking mess.
And then ISIS would be like, well, why would we have to do anything?
They're
just going to take care of themselves.
Exactly. Yeah. I was thinking that too. It's like people are like upset about like this concept of like white genocide. It's like, it's handling itself. You don't really need to add anything. You don't really need to add any fuel to that fire. I do think a lot of this movie there would be a lot less of this movie if not for the creation of commercially available night vision on your
Absolutely.
Yeah. This is a very night vision heavy. I remember around that time period having a camera with night vision, and you could just add a lot of weird, like, black eye kind of situations to everything.
This is around when Paris Hilton's video came out, right? Wasn't it?
That was also night vision, yeah. Was that 2000, 2001?
I thought.
It was October of 2001.
Dude, I didn't meet Paris Hilton, but I saw her before I knew that she was famous at the Warped Tour when she was dating the singer from Sum 41. And me and
Derek.
My friend were backstage. Yeah.
Derek.
We're backstage at the Warped Tour, just like taking photos because he wanted to see Andrew WK. And then I was like, there, this small woman in pink who had like a weird face, and but like her butt was showing, and she was just giving me and my friend the stink eye because he wanted to talk to the Sum 41 singer. And like, who is that lady? Why is she giving us such attitude? And then like 2 days later, I saw her like at Entertainment Tonight or something. And I was like, oh,
if you guys don't know, George Chen has connections to everybody in the world. It's crazy.
It is true.
Like, oh, Kanye, yeah, I used to mail order him Wolfie LPs in the 90s.
No, that was Rollins.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. Anyway, sorry. He's like amazing. Anyone you name, he was there at Warped Tour.
Put your hands together for George Chen, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, George! Yeah,
I did drive all the way up here just to do this show.
Hell yeah.
Thank you.
Manteca.
But so you mentioned the white genocide. Let's just stay on that for a while.
Okay.
I was gonna say like white genocide? It could be argued that like God is looking upon these people and treating them like his own precious angel babies because no one gets hurt and they should be dying left and right. Yeah. Everyone's fine. There are no injury. Oh, pour a little beer on your open eye wound. It's fine. And then that guy's fine and he's fighting again in the mud. I don't get it.
We don't know like what happened after, like if this became a festering wound or something like that. He probably like heard that alcohol like cleans your wounds.
Well, it does.
But not...
Not 5%.
Not 5%. Yeah.
Not a 4.9% Bud Light.
Yeah.
Poured Faygo on his wounds.
Let me ask you guys, who here remembers what commercial Wise Up came from?
Yeah.
That is
of course.
But what was the ad? I mean, what was the product?
It was like, it was Budweiser.
Yeah, Bud.
Yeah.
And
it was
frogs,
an internet thing first. It was like maybe the first like internet
first
sketch
meme.
Group that made it to mainstream.
The frogs?
No, not the frog. It was three brothers and they were like watching TV calling each other.
Yeah, they were on the phone.
And and it was huge. Everyone fucking said it, if you remember correctly.
Yeah.
Didn't it go into one of the Scream movies? Like, wasn't that a big...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The Scream Killer says was up into the phone.
Oh, yeah.
But it's still funny.
So you know you're relevant when you make it to the
today.
Scream
Super
movie.
Relevant.
It was relevant in 2000, I guess. I don't know.
Well, they were listening to 90s Primus, too, so they were a little behind the times.
Wait, are you going to argue that 2000's Primus is better? Or 80s Primus?
They ain't no good Primus. I'm going to say it right now.
Have you guys ever jumped over a fire?
Oh, yeah.
Shut up. Really?
Of course.
A lot of people are nodding in the audience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has everyone here jumped over a fire? Is that what unifies us? Everyone holding up their hands.
proudly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it's primal. I feel like you have to.
Yeah, there's nothing in your mind except for please don't let me fall in this fire.
It's reptilian, man. It's like that's what I mean. Who is the motivational speaker who just got in trouble?
Tony Robbins.
Tony Robbins.
In trouble? Yeah.
What did he do?
Well, because he had people walk on like, coals and they burn.
Oh, 30 people burn their feet.
Right. Yeah, it's still
just
happening.
The power walk. Yeah, like 30 people like got burns on their feet
from walking on hot coals.
And then I think he shamed them and said they weren't focused enough, and so that's why they burned their feet.
Oh man,
they signed a release for
getting shamed by Tony Robbins. Is there anything worse than that?
That's what he does in a way, right? Just kind of like tough loving.
Yeah. He told me once, be confident, stupid.
I love when he says that.
In my head, it was funnier. In my head, it was a lot funnier.
Tony Robbins has a giant head also.
He does.
A giant man with giant hands, like a giant, like a lion. Okay. I didn't know that.
Does anyone here on our panel have a horrible camping story? Like just things gone horrible, like your tent is on fire kind of thing?
Yeah, I nothing specific, but I just remember like the real despair of hundreds of kids being around a burning car in the hills and just like kids having sex and doing meth and breaking up and crying and men fighting. And it's just like this real feeling of like pathos and just like classic. Like one of those old biblical paintings of Revelations. That's what that's what I remember my childhood being like. And I don't know, it really, this whole thing makes me ask, like, what am I? I'm just an animal that loves to yell, scream around fire, you know? Yeah. Anyway, what are your bad camping stories?
No meth, I don't think. Yeah. I mean, statistically, there was probably meth at every camping party.
I would think, yeah.
I had to go camping every summer with my aunt, Anita. And the family joke was that she was named after that because I need a beer. I need another beer. It was like, and she wore full lace bodysuits and she got pregnant with my cousin when she was 13 and had her when she was 14.
Whoa.
Yeah. So she was just like an older sister and she was a hot mess. And I honestly, I'm not even joking about this. I cannot listen to the Meatloaf Bat Out of Hell album without having like PTSD of like going camping. And we all slept in tents.
How many boyfriends did she have that drove Camaros?
She had a Trans Am you had to take out, had a T-top.
Of course she did.
Yeah, of course she did. Yeah, so that was pretty brutal.
Aunt Anita.
Did
she have a mobile home or?
Yeah, she lived in a trailer.
There we go.
And she would get us drunk on wine coolers starting when I was the age 11. So.
Wow.
Yeah, that's juice. She was pretty magical.
Did she smoke cigarettes?
Yes.
And were they menthols?
Oh, I don't remember.
Yes, they were.
Yes, they were. But yeah.
I know my white trash.
I had an almost bad camping story that started with my boyfriend. On Memorial Weekend, we went to a Bloodhound Gang Three Doors Down Papa Roach concert.
Whoa. You've lived
Let me guess, it was outdoors concert?
It was outdoors. And I actually got hit in the face with a clump of mud from the mosh pit. The mosh pit turned into mud throwing, and then I got totally just like whacked with this clump of mud, and it was... it was really uncomfortable for my contacts. But then I came back from buying a Bloodhound Gang t-shirt, which I still have, and my boyfriend was smoking meth. And I didn't know that he smoked meth, so that was weird as a 17-year-old. And it was also my birthday. So we were going to go camping after that concert, but then we got pulled over at a checkpoint, you know, sobriety checkpoint. And they searched the car and found the contraband of my boyfriend's, meth foil, which was weird.
Also one of my favorite superheroes.
A meth foil, yeah. That's going to be my first album.
Yeah.
I had to drive his car home and tell his parents that he was in jail, and the camping trip was canceled. So my mom grounded me, and I was like, why am I grounded? I didn't even do anything. And she was like, yes, you did. You dated someone who does meth. And I was like, that is a good point, Mom.
What
I will go to my room on my 17th birthday.
Oh. Was your boyfriend... I hope your boyfriend's name was Logan.
No, I wish. His name was Robin, and he had a tattoo of a robin.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yes, he forgot. Now, Can you tell me what a Three Doors Down song is? Because I know they just played Trump's inauguration.
You can call me Superman.
Superman is the only one.
Kryptonite.
It's a Superman song. They're not all about Kryptonite and Superman. Every song is the same.
Didn't they do like, it's closing time?
No, that's
Semisonic.
Semisonic. Oh, right.
How dare you?
I'm so sorry.
No. Yeah, Three Doors Down is definitely, like, if there was going to be, like, a meth festival, Three Doors Down would definitely headline.
Who else would play Meth Fest?
Corn. Someone says Corn.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Perfect Circle.
New metal.
Perfect Circle reunion tour.
That's
music.
It. There's the headliners right
Woodstock
there.
Woodstock 99 music, yeah, pretty much. Does this seem like all these people would go to Trump's inauguration in the movie?
Did anyone?
I think Mike.
Maybe
would
not
stay.
Lorraine.
Mm-mm. Yeah. No, definitely not Lorraine.
Lorraine did not.
Tom definitely went.
I feel like the people in this movie wouldn't go vote. You know, like it's a long way to the voting station, and then if there's a line, like fuck that, you know. So
yeah,
it's a lot of non-voters in the Midwest.
They vote with fire, basically.
They knew more words to the Star Spangled Banner than I thought they would get through.
Well, that's because the guy leading it was clearly from the military.
Yeah,
that's yeah, true. Yeah.
I want to hear some party stories. Like, do you guys have any stories about parties that ended up just like in arrests?
Don't look at me, man.
Sketch fest.
Nothing I could say on a podcast.
Sketchfest parties?
Oh, well, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking that, like, you know, I'm laughing at these people. And I'm kind of laughing like I'm better than them, right? But my friend, we went to a Sketchfest party the other day, and they have photo booths there. And my friend Al was mooning.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, I was.
You don't gotta spread them.
I was on the floor, like cracking up as he was mooning in this sketch. And I'm like, oh, I'm just like these people, you know? I should not be laughing at them.
That is like a major key thing that I wonder about this documentary, because I do feel better than these people. And should I not?
No, you shouldn't.
I mean, there's a camaraderie there. There's a sweetness there. And there's an earnest that you kind of, I admire. Mm-hmm. I'm almost 40 and I don't have anywhere I could go where I'm with thousands of my friends, you know? I don't have this kind of option, and I'm kind of jealous of them, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. And like for me, like a lot of those activities were attractive. Like I want to go on a quad bike and watch someone crash their truck over a dune, or
pour a bunch of gasoline and light it on fire.
A fun trail to
it's
more
true.
Fire.
It does appeal to like your lizard brain.
Yeah,
some of these activities
appeal
to your lizard brain.
But there's it also disgusts me, and I want no part of it because.
Oh, yes.
You can tell what kind of drunk they are, right? And they're that beer, the all day drinking beer, 12 or after 12 or kind of drunk. And I fucking hate that kind of drunk. And it's the worst feeling in the world. And there's thousands of people there that are just on that like wavelength of just consistent drunkenness on shit beer. And it makes me want to vomit. That's all.
Yeah, there were a lot of dicks out. Like I was like, I don't know if I need to do all this, and then like a lot of like balls and asshole spreading and shit and piss and vomit, like that part is disgusting.
The aristocrats, everyone.
Yeah.
What do you? So Kurt was trying to vomit, and he couldn't vomit, and then his friend, it could have been Mike, stuck his fingers. I'm gonna do it right there.
Yeah.
He said, "Here, smell
Kurt,
my fingers."
Puke.
And. And the smell of the fingers immediately caused him to expel lots of bile.
Oh yeah, a lot more.
What was the smell on his fingers?
I think he put his fingers like in his asshole and like put it up the guy's nose.
Thank you. That's what I was looking for. All right. That's my last question.
It wasn't implied. It was Chekhov's finger in the asshole. That came to fruition later. Hey, let's do another segment. With Paco on the piano, everyone.
Yay.
Did you guys know he's a musician?
What?
Kind of.
Frankie G with another dramatic reading. While I re-up your Faygo.
Re-up.
Grape flavor.
This is my favorite flavor.
This stuff is so good.
This is from Mojambo. How awful. Some artsy farts got hold of these people's home video and judged them. If they annoy you, don't go party with them. Chances are a home video of you and your friends would be as off-putting to them as this is to a lot of you. Just what the internet needed. Thanks a fucking bunch.
Yeah.
Mojambo's just a very empathetic person.
Frankie G with the dramatic reading. What is that? That's from YouTube comments?
So these are from a blog post about the video.
Oh, yeah, the WFMU blog?
Yeah, yeah, the WFMU blog.
WFMU blog, yeah. They reposted the YouTube link, and then there's a bunch of comments under it, yeah. Right.
Faygo is so delicious. I thought it was like Shasta, but it's way better.
It's way better.
I took a sip of this, but if anybody wants some,
drink. Puke.
Smell my finger. They're not near Flint, are they?
Yeah, a little bit.
Water
yeah.
joke.
Yeah. Faygo always reminds me, like, my parents would always pack up, because Faygo, it used to come in bottles, actually bigger bottles.
Right, well, the reason also is I know the Insane Clown Posse uses Faygo. Yeah. They'll get, like, a liter and just, like, throw them around the room and just, like, shake them up and, yeah.
Sounds sticky and gross.
That's why I know that the Insane Clown Posse played in Oakland like maybe like 3 years ago, and apparently it was just like there was a lot to clean up at the end. Just a lot of sticky floors.
It's like guar, but instead of blood, it's soda.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. I've never seen them before.
I don't really know much about their actual music, but they are from Michigan.
You should check it out, dude. It's pretty good.
Here's the crazy twist. They revealed a few years ago that actually all their albums had always been about God.
That was the final Joker's card.
God is the carnival.
That's how magnets work. Is God?
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Completely insane. And that's why they then made that fucking magnet song.
Oh, did you hear there's going to be a Juggalo march on Washington, D.C.?
This is yes.
The next
as thing. A protest? Or as...
I think maybe to protest the fact they were considered a gang by the FBI.
Are they still mad about that?
We should go.
Yeah, well...
Has anybody in the audience ever seen
an ally.
An ICP yeah. show?
A Juggalo ally?
I'm a Juggalo ally. A Juggalo.
Juggalo. I think there's... So let's... Does anybody have a question for our panel? Anybody
yeah.
have a question?
Oh, yeah. Would you show this to your friends?
Yeah. Yes. No, we have two no's. We have a yes. Do you have a question?
Yes. Question. Should I bring the mic out?
Yeah, bring the mic up. We have a question for Mr. David Roth, who's a great...
So watching this just made me, like, profoundly sad. Did you guys, like... I didn't enjoy it at all. Did you? Like, no part of me was... Did you guys, like, enjoy... Did you enjoy this film?
Yes,
yes,
I did. Enjoyed it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Paco and I were laughing the whole time because I think this was literally how I grew up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I see how it could be perceived, you know, by people that are like, these fucking idiots. But, I mean... It really is just a bunch of people coming together and acting so dumb and just laughing because, you know, their jobs are unfulfilling and, you know, they didn't make it through college.
That's true.
Potentially.
It's also like, I mean, I saw myself in a lot of this stuff. I used to party hard and go crazy out there and sit in dog cages and get peed on. I mean, who hasn't, you know?
And they seem to have some moral compass, so they are likable. Like, the only sexual assault that happens is on Todd.
That's true.
He's passed out, and then they are like, leave Maloney sleeping.
That's so true. Just watching it now, I just realized that was a non-consensual, like, sexual assault scene on a man by all these, he doesn't know all these ladies are, like, kissing on him because he's passed out.
He doesn't even know.
He's pooped.
Any other questions?
I got a question right here in the front. What's your name, sir?
I'm Kurt.
Where are you from, Kurt?
From Green Bay, Wisconsin. So what is the difference between a home video and a documentary?
Yes, oh. That's what I'm trying to figure
Fair
out.
Fair question. Yeah.
There's a dude in this movie that goes like, life documented. And that's all that you need, really.
I don't know if there is a difference. I mean, it's documentaries are not fiction. And they're a moment in time. And it's a film that documents real life. So I'm not sure... If there is necessary.
Well, this case is really interesting because it's sort of like that thing of like, are you laughing at them? Because I feel like the filmmakers, not the people that ran the camera and actually made it, but the people that edited it, so we have this 22-minute version, I feel like it is mocking, and it is like sort of insultingly mocking the stupidity of the people. So I feel like there is some intentionality coming from the people that edited it, and the fact that they made it available for purchase. And that was
not necessarily what was intended to happen because they were worried about mom and dad seeing it, you know, so they didn't expect a bunch of strangers to see it 16 years later and have a panel about it at a comedy festival. So, but in general, yeah, I guess it would just be at the editing and the intentionality behind it. The fact that you just throw credits on the beginning and then you could do that with the home movie and it just, whether it will be watched in 16 years, I guess.
It was part of a found footage festival.
Yeah, they did show it at a found footage festival. And there's a shortened 2-minute version, I think, online that is from that. But actually, that might lead into the last dramatic reading from Frankie G and Paco back at the piano. There's one more thing that kind of addresses this. And
yeah, it's very on topic for what we're talking
yeah.
about. Carly, after thinking about this, my sister and I feel uneasy about this tape being out there. I gave a copy to Caleb to borrow and was never told who's going to give it to you guys to sell. Thing is, there are a couple of teachers and respected folks on there that could ruin the careers. How would you feel if your first grader's teacher was burning a couch or holding up a bag of weed? I feel pretty hilarious about it, but anyways. This tape was intended to watch in the privacy of our own home with the people that were on it. It being on the internet and you saying it can be available online and giving your address to buy it on TV is not what I was told. Can you please take the tape down off the website immediately? Thanks. Call if this is a problem.
I assume that was Mike. Because it says me and my sister, right?
Yeah, I think that had to be Mike.
Yeah. So
ever the moral compass, even after the release.
Mike is the only one who's like really got his head together.
Yeah.
He's good really old coming Mike. From what happens in Silver Lake stays in Silver Lake, you know?
Yeah.
But I'll do legs. Woo!
Sorry.
I kind of feel like if there's that big of a disconnect between your public persona and your private life, then do a little more to bridge the gap a little bit.
I work for the school district, so I'm gonna have to disagree
well,
on that
for the
one.
School, for the school district, for the school district, yeah.
Well,
but
there's
like,
a thing
just like out in the community.
There's a thing in the film. There's a stuff that is like where people are performing for the camera, obviously, right? There's
right,
they're
right.
performing for the camera. They don't know, and this is before YouTube existed or anything, so they don't know how far it's gonna go. But then there's a stuff that's just like the guys flinging mud on the truck that's stuck in the mud. And like that is like, yeah. to me, the cultural value of this piece. It is like an anthropological document. It is like a symbol of like the decline of late capitalism.
Wow. Or I think maybe we've always been apes who love to fling mud at trucks.
That's true, too.
And the fact that we can't be that and work for a school district. It's, you know.
What if it was like 2001, but it was just those dudes flinging mud?
I think it's a mixture of things, you know, but I think we could learn a lot from this movie. You know, there's a lot of darkness and misery, like you got out of it. But like I said before, I think there's a lot of optimism.
A lot of joy.
A lot of joy, a lot of badass fucking shit. And then, but really, it's about friendship. And what is friendship about? We smoke pot. We smoke a lot. Yeah.
Explain our friendship together. Exactly.
All right. Thank you guys for coming out. This has been
an
incredible. Put your hands together for our panel.
Yeah. Frankie G, Emily Van Dyke, Corey Sklar, Melissa McQueen. I'm George Chen.
Hey, I'm Paco Romaine.
Here's our producer, Will Scoville, here. Thanks a lot, Will, for producing our live show.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Episode 50 in the can.
Yeah. Yeah, please go to our website, supdocpodcast.com. Listen to our shows. iTunes, rate, subscribe, and review.
Yeah. And listen to Primus, early 90s.
Primus sucks.
We also want to thank Faygo for
good
sponsoring
night,
this
Pork episode. Soda from Faygo.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
good night.